Yeah, I'm John Urbanchuk, and I'm managing partner of Agriculture and Biofuels Consulting, LLP, and we really are doing business under the name ABF Economics. New, we started this up about just about 3 months ago, and we've been working in the primarily in the biofuel space before, and then now that's my focus right now.
And what we're going to talk about is some new work you just completed regarding food prices and the renewable fuel standard. Tell us about that.
Well, what we what we're doing is taking a look at the relationship between the renewable fuel standard and consumer food prices. As you know, there's been a great deal of concern, it's not just recent, but it's been over some extended period of time, over the fact that by requiring a larger share of renewable fuels to be used, now renewable fuels, largely ethanol, primarily today made from grain, corn being the predominant feedstock, that the use of more corn to make biofuels was increasing consumer food prices. And we look at that in terms of the CPI for food. We did a study for renewable fuels and national corn growers though several years ago that looked at the relationship between ethanol and oil and food, and the stuff that we've just recently done confirms what we've done earlier, and that is, to one, it's undeniable, obviously, that the use of corn to make ethanol has increased as the renewable fuel standard mandate has progressed over time. However, that has had really no significant or measurable, observable impact on consumer food prices, which doesn't mean to say that consumer food prices haven't increased. They, in fact, have increased. But what we've found is that if you take a look at the time period since the implementation of the renewable fuel standard, and basically we're 5 years into the RFS, and you take a look at a comparable period prior to that, what we found is that retail-level food prices have actually increased at a slower rate than was the case before the RFS took effect. So, you know, it's really difficult, and in fact, it's erroneous, to look at changes in food prices today and say that because of the RFS, the food prices have increased. That doesn't appear to be the case. And then, moreover, if you take a look at where the changes in food prices have occurred, and you look at the whole food sector, what we find is that if you take a look at consumer food costs, the food processing industry contributes a larger share of those costs than does production agriculture. So, really, when we talk about renewable fuels, we're talking about the impact on individual commodities such as corn, for example, or soybean and soybean oil, or whatever the particular commodity is. Well, that's at the commodity or the farm level, and people don't stop to think that, well, okay, fine, that's really not the stuff that you go and buy at the grocery store. It's a raw material, it's an ingredient in the production of other foods that do end up in the grocery store. And there's an awful lot that happens between the time that product leaves the farm and the time it gets to the grocery store. And that has had a larger, those influences, which are shaped by energy prices, oil prices, play a role in transportation. They play a role in processing. They play a role in determining packaging costs, labor, other factors all have an impact on determining what those retail food costs are, not to mention the fact that you've got the food industry and retailer margins and profitability. So when we take a look at that, we find that whole food processing industry has a larger share of consumer food costs than does production agriculture. Okay, and of course, energy prices, as we indicated, play a more significant role in the costs of food or for food processors than does any individual agricultural commodity. And I always point this out with corn. I mean, the corn that we're talking about here that goes into ethanol is not the stuff you eat on a plate with carrots and peas, okay? It's the stuff that you eat in the form of a steak, a pork chop, an egg, a glass of milk, okay? And then people will say, well, yeah, but those prices are gone through the roof. I mean, you know, a lot of press in the last couple of weeks over the fact that beef prices have hit an all-time record high, okay? Isn't that the fault of corn? Well, no, not really, because there's been an awful lot else that's been going on in agriculture that's had a negative impact on the livestock and poultry industry. Drought last year, excessive heat, high death loss, lower yields, all of those factors have had an impact, a negative impact on the livestock and poultry industry. And then moreover, the production cycles. What we've seen is we've seen a decline in cattle numbers and cattle profitability that's in large part cyclical. They're in a down cycle that has coincided with the renewable fuel standard and the increased use. So a lot of things have happened at the same time, and it's really incorrect, not to mention unfair, to look at all those things and say, aha, it's the reason the renewable fuel standard. There's another factor that's important to keep in mind, too. As I said, most of the ethanol that we make today is made from corn. And most of that's made in corn dry mills as opposed to wet mills. Wet mills make high fructose corn syrup or ethanol and a bunch of other stuff. Dry mills are designed to make ethanol. But they also make two other very, very important products. We call them co-products. One is distiller's dried grains with solubles and carbon dioxide. And the DDG is important because when you take a grain such as corn that's got a kernel that's got starch in it, what you're doing is you're converting that starch to sugar. It's then, you know, you add enzymes to it and you make alcohol and you distill it. What's left is the protein, the fiber, the minerals, and all of that is present in this distiller's grains. And that's it's a medium protein feed ingredient that goes back into the feed sector. And it's used by cattle, both beef and dairy cattle. It's used by swine and it's used by poultry. And as a consequence, what happens is that you don't lose the full value of the corn that goes to make ethanol because you're returning about a third of it back into the livestock sector. And that's had a really, really important impact for particularly the cattle industry. And there's an interesting development that's happened over the past couple of years. As you know, most of the cattle produced or cattle fed in the United States today are in Texas and Oklahoma and Nebraska and those sorts of places. Well, what we've seen over the past several years is that a lot of those cattle are moving north to Iowa, to the Dakotas, to Kansas and eastern Nebraska, where the ethanol industry is located, where these dry mill ethanol plants are, because what they'll do is they'll make the ethanol and they'll have the distiller's grains and they come out of the plant, they have a high water content. If you put a cattle feedlot next to one of those plants or in very, very close proximity, you don't have to dry it. You can just ship it right over, and the cattle love the stuff. So we've seen a change in the location of that feeding, and that's an important factor to keep in mind. And that's an interesting thing that people aren't focusing on unless you're in Iowa. And I was fortunate to participate in the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association Renewable Fuels Summit back in February, and Bill Nordy, who's the Secretary of Agriculture in Iowa, is well aware of this, and he made a big point of the fact that, hey, we are really benefiting because we have cattle moving into this area, and it's not traditionally been a cattle raising area. We've seen the same thing happen with dairy. And increasingly, you're seeing both the swine industry and the poultry industry using more and more distiller's grains. And there have been changes in technology that are removing oil, for example, from distiller's grains that improve its use for swine, for example, and changes that are making it more palatable for chickens. So that's the distiller's grains part of it. And then the other one that's important to keep in mind, and this has a really positive impact, not a negative impact, and that is as we're producing more ethanol from from dry mills. As I said, you're getting ethanol, but you're getting distillers grains. You're also producing carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide is very, very important for the food processing industry for a whole bunch of reasons. Obviously, refrigeration and freezing is a major, major source of that, as well as using carbon dioxide in terms of maintaining and improving the quality of processed foods. And at the same time, it also improves margins for the food processors. So, you know, nobody focuses on carbon dioxide, but carbon dioxide, the food industry is one of the food and beverage industry, obviously carbonation is the other part of that, are major users of carbon dioxide, and they're benefiting significantly from the renewable fuel standard. So if for some reason or other we weren't producing that much, they'd have to look around for other sources of carbon dioxide. So those are the couple of the things. The other one is that not only did we look at food costs, but we looked at affordability of food. So we looked at what consumers are spending for food. And obviously, food prices are a part of this, but the economy, changes in income, the sluggishness that we've had in real incomes have also factored into this. And we look again at the period before and after the RFS, and we found that while food prices have increased a little moderately faster than the overall rate of inflation, consumers aren't spending any more of their income. The share of their real income that goes to food has not increased relative to the period before the renewable fuel standard. So you can argue that while prices have gone up, it really hasn't had a negative impact on the consumer's ability to afford food. So, you know, what we've looked at is to try to take as much of these factors that, as I said, all sort of coincide with one another over this period of time, but take a look at them and try and figure out what their relative contributions are. And to bring some sanity into this debate, because there's been an awful lot of information that's been put out that's not necessarily factual or accurately presented.